famine. If you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Amos this morning, chapter 4 in the book of Amos. Looking at this morning, in the latter part of this verse, we'll look at three or four verses this morning, in the fourth chapter of the book of Amos. We'll begin in verse 10, and we'll then go read through that remainder of that verse. Amos chapter 4. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he has formed thee, formed the mountains, and created the winds, and declared unto man what is his thoughts, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. I'd like this morning, if we could, look at that part of the scripture. It says, prepare to meet thy God. Amen? There's ever a time, I believe, in America, in the history of America, that this message would fit to be the day in which we live. America is so far away from God. I don't know if you looked at the paper this morning. First big headline almost made me just rip when I looked at the morning paper. We won't get into that. That's a whole other message. I'll pray for them, but they sure need our prayers. But here we'd like to look this morning at three things that we need to be prepared to meet the Lord. Amen? This morning God says there's some things we can do to prepare to meet the Lord. Now, the most important part will be the very first thing we look at. You can settle that. God will work out the other things. Amen? But this morning, if you would look with us this morning, I'd like to look at these things. Have you made your reservation? This is something that, like I said, if you make and work this out, everything else will be okay. You can trip and stumble, fall, and like many of us do. But if you work this out with the Lord, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, God will take care of the rest if we'll get out of His way. Many times that's what we do. We get in the Lord's way, trying to help Him out. We just sometimes get in the way. We need to get down and say, Lord, here am I, send me, like Isaiah, and then just follow the Lord. But this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come this morning to your holy presence, thank you for the good number that you brought this way this morning. Thank you for friends and acquaintances that we've had of day to Lord. Most of all, Lord, I'm thankful that I have made the preparations to prepare to meet my God. I hope there'll be here one this morning, God, that does not know that they know, God, that they know that they know they're ready to meet God. Not, I pray this will be the hour, this will be the moment, this will be the day. They come and just make that reservation. Make sure that they know that they're going to a place called heaven if life was to come to an end today. So many today, God, are fastly going around and doing a lot of things, but God, the most important thing they must do, they better prepare to meet thy God. As God said here, the only place in the Bible that I know that he said such words, prepare to meet thy God. Now, Lord, use the lips of clay. Help us when we stumble to only do it for the grace of God. Now, Lord, again, I pray for that one may be cold and indifferent. This morning, God, that their hearts might melt, their souls might quake, and that not hear me, Lord, but they hear the Holy Spirit speaking to their souls. Pray for our nation. We surely need help this morning as a nation. Pray for our troops, our men and women on the whole field. We pray for the peace of Israel, Lord. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, this morning, God would ask us to make that reservation or that preparation. You know, if we go on a journey, we make big plans. We don't just get in the car, most of us, and head out to somewhere hoping everything will be all right. But so many people today are just, that's kind of the way they are prepared to meet God. I'm just traveling, maybe it's the end of the way, I'll be all right. Well, that won't work out. But in the book, in the Bible, we see here that in John chapter 3, we'll be looking through verses 3 and through 7 to make that preparation. Jesus was very admirable about this. This was something he would not give on in any way, in any manner. He said, neither should we deny that today is the church of the living God. Here in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people might want to make fun of being born again, but God was very adamant about it. He must be born again. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily. Now, church, do you realize when God improvises something like it, verily, verily, it means you need to listen to this. You need to get it. Not because we're wrong. This is God. You need to listen because it's God. I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. This morning, if I can just impress upon anything this morning, I'd like to impress upon you that great need of salvation in your life. Well, I'm a young preacher, and I'll take care of that. Well, I read the obituaries, and there's young folk there just like they are old folk. Amen? I look every day just to make sure that I'm not in there and somebody forgot to tell me. Amen? But one day, if the Lord doesn't come, we're all going to meet that and make that part of the paper. Amen? That's probably the only time my name ever makes the paper or headlines. Amen? But that day it will. But here God saying to these people, Verily, verily, this is very important. You need to listen to this. You need to get this message. You need to hear it. You need to let it sink down in your heart. And God was saying to those today that are lost the same thing. Verily, verily, you must be born again. Now, preacher, I'm going to make it some other way. The Bible says if you climb up any other way, you're the thief and robber, and otherwise will you enter in. Amen? So you can try to go some other way. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man enter into the Father except through me. Amen? Church, you can go and try to climb up every other way you want to. You're going to hear the words, Depart from me, you work from iniquity, I never knew you. Amen? Church, the only way that you can truly go into born again this morning is come to the Lord Jesus Christ, accept His, I like the word Calvary, the vice word that the Lord said, it is finished. Now, preacher, what does that mean? What's finished? Everything in you and I need to get to heaven, He finished that day. It's not waiting to be prepared. Hey, your salvation has already been taken care of if you'll just accept it. Jesus said, I died that they might have life and have it more abundantly. It's not just a start. God's already planning for you to be saved. God's plan is for you to make it to heaven. Now, your plan might not be, but that's God's plan. That's what He has planned for you. Church, I tell you this morning, the best thing that will ever happen to you is when you let God have His way and His plan be in your life. Hey, I don't regret one bit turning from the sin and the desecration of my life. I wouldn't go back for all the money that you could pile up all over this world to go back to being a sinner that I was. I'm not good now. I'm still just a sinner saved by grace, but I'm not a sinner going to hell this morning. Amen? But here, Jesus, like I said, I cannot make it or emphasize it enough this morning. Here, Amos preached a message with these for his hour, and I believe this message needs for our hour. We need to get people truly born again. That doesn't mean come and shake the preacher's hand and join the church. You won't die and go to hell. That doesn't mean be a good person because you're good. Not good people die and go to hell. Amen? The Bible says you must be born again. You must come and deal with Jesus Christ. You must come and have this personal relationship. Church, that's what being born again means, having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That when God looks at you, He does not see you, He sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why it says, enter in. Yes. See, the day I walk up there to that gate, because I've been born again, and I have passed from this walk of life, He won't let me in because He looks and sees Ross Williford. If He knows, I'll be in trouble. But when I walk up there that day, because of my relationship, because I've been born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. When God looked at me at that end, He'll say, enter in. Why? Because it was finished by Jesus Christ at Calvary. That's what's wrong with so many people today. We're trying to help God again, I say. God doesn't need my help. I need His. God doesn't need anything from me. God really had no reason to save Brother Ross Wilford. Not one, none whatsoever. Except because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't need Brother Ross. He didn't need me to preach. He could have raised up the rocks to preach. But God, in His infinite mercy, because He loved me so much, and He loved you so much, that He said, I'll die that you can live. See, God doesn't want you to Not to enjoy life. A lot of people, I enjoy life much more now that I'm a Christian than I ever did when I was a sinner. Because every time when I get sin and it comes to me and I sin, I just had guilt. I don't know about you, but I felt great guilt. Oh, I was a good sinner. Don't get me wrong. I was one of the best. But it didn't bring any joy. It didn't bring any peace. It didn't bring any happiness. It just brought guilt. That I was guilty and there was nothing I could do except Christ as my personal Savior. I hope today you'll make that reservation before that death angel finds you or before the trumpet sounds. Church, I don't believe we'll be here much longer but the signs of the time. You see, when you see these things look up, your redemption draws nigh. Again, here Jesus said, marvel not that I said, you must be born again. I hope this morning that the Holy Spirit will bring it into your heart that you must be born again. I cannot make you, but I got a brother. If I can make him be saved, he'd be saved today. He'd be on his way to heaven, but I can't make him be saved just because I'm a preacher. That'll never save him. Just because he thinks I'm a good man won't help him. What he needs is come to the Lord Jesus Christ, fall down, prostrate, and say, it's me, O Lord, send me to prayer. What you need this morning is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, it's me, O Lord. It's me. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. So many of us, we can tell you what our neighbors need to do. We can tell you what our friends need to do. But we have no clue what we need to do. That's the sad part of life. The Bible said, look in the mirror, behold the man. Church, we're too busy looking around. We haven't got time to look in the mirror. That's why we're in the shape we're in, you know what? Because if you looked in the mirror, you'd fall down and say, oh, as I did, what was me? But church, please, make that reservation before it's too late. Because the Bible says, as death finds you, so shall you lie. As death finds you, I don't care how it finds you. If it finds you saved, you'll be saved. If it finds you lost, you'll be lost. Amen? You better realize today that today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow, I don't know if I'll have tomorrow. Do you? Can you come up there and say, brother, off tomorrow, you're going to have this. The Bible says, we're not assured of tomorrow. That's what's so sad about today and our society. We're all living for tomorrow. But tomorrow, church, tomorrow never comes. It's always the next day. It's today. That's why the Bible says, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to work for the Lord. Today is the day of your saved. Today is the day that you need to come. Well, I'm young, preacher, I got a lot of living. Well, you might not have as much living to do as you think. Amen? Like looking under that's another aspect, church, this morning, these three things. Being prepared to meet God. I'm glad I'm prepared to meet God. Hey, I don't care if I lie or live, I'm prepared to meet God. It doesn't really matter. Church, I'm glad. Hey, if I pray even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I don't know about you. I'd like to see the Lord come today. I'd like to see Him come before I get through preaching. Well, preacher, people will be lost. Hey, they're going to be lost no matter what. But the Bible says you need to be saying, oh Lord Jesus, come quickly. Can you get really right with God? I believe if you look at this world, the only thing you could say is, oh Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen? As I look at society, hey, just the change that's happened in the last 10 years, man, if it gets much worse, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm not blaming him. I'm saying this is sin. This is the devil. This is his plan. You better realize it today. God has an enemy, and it's not you and I. It's not the president. It's Satan. And he's still trying to do the same thing he's always been, overthrow God. He doesn't care about you. You're not even in his thoughts. He wants to overthrow God. He wants to become God, which he'll never do. That's another reason he needs to be saved, so he don't go where he has to go. God prepared a place for him, and it's an awful place. And it's a place of punishment. It's a place where the Bible said that worm never dies. And they gnash their teeth, and they cream out and scream out, ah! I couldn't scream loud enough, bad enough to make you understand how bad hell is. But here, church, let's look at another aspect this morning of being prepared to meet God. First of all, got to make that first step. Know Him as your personal Savior. Let Him. Don't try to work your way to heaven because you know you're going to end up bankrupt. And you're going to stand before God with no hope. Church, let me look here. Have a no-so salvation. Amen? We're living in a hope I'm saved society. I hope I'll make it happen. Church, that's not what the Bible teaches. Now, I don't know about the other Bible. I'm a King James Bible man. All the rest of them don't even make good commentaries. I don't even know if they make a good flyer. Amen? Well, preacher, I don't like it. It's okay. They didn't like Jesus either. You know that? That's why they put him on the cross, because they didn't like him, because he come preaching that those Pharisees and Sadducees were putting out was going to send him to the devil's hell. That it wasn't enough, hey, to be good. It wasn't enough to pay your tithe. It wasn't enough to be a part of the temple. You had to be born again. Amen? to have a no-so salvation. Now, how can I have a no-so salvation, preacher? Well, Jesus said to me, I'm just going to give you one this morning because I know you want to get down there and you don't want to be too cold. But it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. This is the Bible. This is what Paul. Now, I like to read out of Paul. I like to preach out of Paul. Why? Well, he was given the honor to be the pastor to the Gentiles, or the preacher to the Gentiles, or the apostle, whatever you want to call him. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament scripture that we preach. So surely, he must have knew something, and God really liked it. Amen? I believe God liked it. I saw Jesus, Paul was my text champion. Amen? If you're going to have a champion, make Paul your champion. Paul was good. But here in 2 Timothy, he's speaking to this young disciple, this young proselyte, a young disciple or a young student of his, and he told him something about death. Church, you know, death is coming. I'll say again, well, I don't like to hear that. Well, that's all right. They didn't like to hear it when Jesus preached. Why? Be born again. Be ready to die. Hey, church, I'm living, but I want to be ready to die. Here it says, 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Now, oh, preacher, when I get saved, you mean I got... Hey, that's what the Bible says. If you reign with me, you must suffer with me. We Christians don't like that idea. We Baptists just don't like the idea of suffering, do we? Well, that's how God says we grow, truly, as Christians. Not through having everything our way, but through suffering. Hey, most of us don't pray till we have a great need. Amen? We're poor prayer warriors. I said we, not you. But here he says, that we suffer these things. Nonetheless, I'm not ashamed. Church, never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. As I said, ashamed of you, him, he'll be ashamed of you. And I can't afford that. Well, I know. Now listen to this. This is the part I want you to really get. I know in whom I have believed. Paul said, I'm not going to heaven because I'm the great preacher Paul. I'm not going to heaven because I wrote 2/3 of the New Testament scripture. I'm not going to heaven except for one reason. For I know in whom I have believed. I've been born again. Paul was born again on the Damascus Road. Paul had one of those miraculous salvation. Amen? God tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, Paul, you need to be saved. Amen? But let me tell you something. I, God, your salvation is just as miraculous. The day you got saved made God just as happy as the day that Paul got saved. Amen? Jesus said, I've come to save that which is lost. He didn't say, I've come to save Paul. He said, I've come to save that which is lost. But here I know in whom I believe, church. I'm persuaded. See, if I know, I can be persuaded. Amen? Church, how many people need to be persuaded? We don't have too many persuaded Christians. Most of them are living, oh Lord, I hope I'm saved. Oh Lord, I wish, I just don't know. Church, that's why the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not with gobble gum popping. I know, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What's that day? That day that I'll stand and face God. That day I'll stand and go before the judgment seat of Christ. That day when I'll give an account for this life. But I'm ready. I mean, no matter how mad I fail, I know that God said I've made a way for you. It's called being born again. The church here, Paul said, I know, I know. I don't think Paul was the only one to know that he was saved. I know, church. I wouldn't walk out of this building this morning unless I knew. I knew I was ready to meet God. I'm ready. I'm prepared to meet my God. I'm prepared. Hey, if I don't make it, I'm my wife. My wife and my family know if I don't make it, I'll meet them on the other side. I'll be waiting. I got family over there. I got about as much family over there as I do here. Amen? But Paul said, this morning as Christians, we need to have this. I know so salvation. I am persuaded. I know in whom I believe. I know that he said it was finished. I'm not trusting in what I do, church. I'm trusting in what Christ has done. And I hope you are this morning, because if you're not, you're going to die in the hell. Wife is temperate. That's all right. They didn't like Jesus. I'll say again. Jesus didn't have a big popular following. No, he had crowd, but then they followed real quick when he told them the truth. You ever notice that? When you read the Bible, when God really got down to tell them the truth, they said, will you leave also? Well, you know, that was a word of control. But man, that crowd fell away when Jesus preached. Amen? When he got down to really preaching, he got down to tell them just how it really was. That they were writing having seen the writings of the Pharisees and scribes. They had to go a little farther. Hey, you ever notice when Jesus would go pray, he went a little farther. Amen? That's what God said to you. I want you to go a little farther for me this morning. I want you to go just a little farther than what folks say you need. I want you to go to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to fall down. I want you to go a little farther this morning. I want you to be persuaded. I want you to know, if you walk out of this door this morning, no matter if you fall dead, you know, I'm going on. It's going to be all right, preacher. It's all right. Hey, church, if I don't get through, it's all right. Hey, I'll be in a better place. I believe that with all my heart. But have a no so salvation. So many people got this, I hope I'm saved. But if you hope you're saved, you're lost. Hey, I tell folks, well, being saved, it's like you tell me that, well, I got hit by a Mack truck and I didn't know it. I mean, I got run over by a Mack truck and I just didn't know it hit me. Amen? Church, I guarantee if you get hit by a Mack truck, you're going to know it. And you're going to tell me you're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to come face to face to Him and you're going to know Him in a personal relationship and you're not going to know it. I just can't believe that. You're lost and on your way to hell. If you don't have a low soul salvation this morning, I know in whom I believe. I'm persuaded and take to keep that which I'm touching Him against that day. You're lost. You're lost without hope. Well, preacher, I belong to the church. You're lost. Preacher, I'm a preacher. You're lost. If you don't know that, you know, lady, if there's anything that's wrong, you better nail down. As a Christian, I know in whom I believe. I know He's able to keep that which I'm entrusted to Him. I know. Paul didn't say, I'm waiting for the end of the line to find out. Paul didn't say, well, I hope I am. He said, I know. Kirk, how did he know? He knows because we're reading it because of that suffering we're talking about. He suffered for the cause of Christ and was glad to do so. Amen? The Bible said, when he was in prison, he was out. After midnight hour, after being beaten and served and probably didn't even resemble a man with the blood and the fire on him and the stick and the rat and around. He said, I know. And it did not begin to sing songs of the Lord. And what did God do? He let him know who God was. Let me tell you something. When you want to know who God is, He'll let you know. Amen? That's having a no-soul salvation. Making that reservation. Let's one more thing I want to look at, church. I try not to keep you too long. I used to be a lot longer winded when I was younger. That's why a lot of folks here hear me preach. An hour and a half, that's pretty good preaching. It's all right as long as you don't repeat yourself, my wife says. Amen? And I want to look at this one last thing this morning. Have a steadfast hope. Now, being born again will give you something. It'll give you a steadfast hope. The whole world, church, I'm sorry the world's in the shape it's in, but I'm not afraid. Like I said, they'll make me look up into the eastern sky and say, you're coming today, Lord. Hey, my house, out of my window, I look toward the eastern sky when I sit in my living room. Every morning I go in the living room and sit and look to see if the Lord's coming. I just want to make sure. If He's coming, I want to see it. I want to be one of the first to see it. I want to be ready. Amen? Why? I've got a steadfast hope. Let me give you some scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Steadfast hope. Steadfast means something to hold on to, something that's sure, something that's firm, something that fadeth not away, something that you can be sure of. Hey, again, church, I believe this ought to lead to the kind of salvation you have. Something you're sure of. Something that, hey, if the whole world, man, you can just sing Amazing Grace and get so happy, and people wonder, what in the world? Why? Don't they know the shape the world's in? Have they not read the paper this morning? Did they not see the news last night? Do they not know? Church, I don't care. What makes it happen is having that steadfast hope that in whom I believe. And He's never failed. He's not going to fail. He's going to keep His word. And it doesn't matter what you and I think. God will do exactly what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, how He wants to do it. And He doesn't need my permission. Had a better one time to do, well, God said it, I believe it, and that settled it. I said, no, sir, you're wrong. God said it, and that settled it. It's forever settled in the heavens. It doesn't matter what you and I believe. What matters, He said it, and that's it. He doesn't need my counsel. He doesn't need yours. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brother. Hey, Paul's speaking to people who've been born again. Brother. That's who you are when you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? We're a family. That's why the devil wants to destroy families. The church is made up of one big family. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Now here's the preacher to the Gentiles. Unless you're a Jew this morning, I know he's speaking to you. Gentiles. Unmovable part of being steadfast is being unmovable. They're not going to move you from what you believe. They're not going to move you from knowing that I know I've entrusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and He's going to take care of it no matter what. I'm fast. Your papa said that something. He told him, he said, there might just be one bee, but the Lord, I'll make sure I'm on one end of it. Amen? I believe that. He says here, unmovable, always abounding. When you're unmovable, when you're steadfast, you're going to abound. You're going to be on the fire. You're going to be on the firing line. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, church, listen to that. In the work of the Lord. Not in waiting for the Lord to come. You abound in the way. Hey, that's what most Christians are at today. They're not working. They're waiting on the Lord to come. It's good to be waiting on the Lord to come, but that don't mean we're going to sit down in the easy chair and just sit on the front porch, like I said, and watch on him. Huh? No, God said, Brother Ross, when you go down to the store, tell them that God loves them. When you go over to the bank, maybe you'll have to tell them God loves them. Amen? I'm a preacher everywhere I go. I'm not just a preacher in this pulpit. Amen? If I am, then you need to get rid of me. Never let me come back and preach again. That's the only place I can preach, it's in this pulpit. I believe y'all be a preacher everywhere if you're a preacher. Hey, like I said, I preached on the street corners, enjoyed it. I preached in the prisons, enjoyed it. Why, preacher? I've got to tell people about Jesus. Hey, one of the most captive audience a preacher ever have is the fellas in prison. Oh, there are no hurry. You're all in a hurry. You want to get out of here. You want to go eat. But them fellas, hey, preacher, just preach. Preach home, preacher. Preach on. I've seen him saved in the prison. I've seen him saved everywhere. God will save. God says, be ready. Preach the gospel. Give him the good news. Be working. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, preacher. Hey, this seems like foolishness to most of you this morning. Me preaching. Probably does. But God says through that it pleased him. Amen. Through the foolishness of preaching. Amen. They how can they hear unless they be a preacher? How can they be unless he be sent? Amen. Amen. Look, for as much as you know. I've got a steadfast help. I know in whom I believe. I'm not going because Roswell was good, because I'm going because what Roswell was, I'd be going straight to hell. Because I sin every day. Preacher, you sin? Yeah. Hey, if I look at you and don't sin with you, then I sin. Sin's not hard to commit, church. I don't think it is. And don't think God with a gun shooting people the only one sinning, because he's not. If I drive, I don't know about you, but I drive the road, and if I'm not careful, my wife reminds me, hey, you remember you're a preacher. So I'm just as human as you are. Don't think I'm telling you I'm good, because I'm not. But I have a good Savior. I have one that I can make you rest assured that he's going, hey, if he passed through, the Bible said this goes as far as this. Paul said, turn over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, and so might be concerned. Hey, if God has to, he'll kill me and take me to heaven. Well, preacher, that's God. That's how sure that I know he's going to get you to heaven if you really get saved. Doesn't matter what Brother Ross thinks. That's what God says. Hey, Paul said here was one who had his wife had already been judged. But Paul said, I pray for God to turn over Satan that he might be destroyed, that his soul might be preserved. Hey, these people go, I'm saved, lost. You better look at Scripture. Said he that says he's saved, lost, puts Jesus to an open shame, and there is no more sacrifice, if that's the way it is. You're dying and going to hell. There ain't no hope for you. But I believe this here eternal salvation. Amen? I believe that what God has done, he's done well. Hey, I don't say Satan's bigger than God. He's not going to reach down and put me out of God's hand. My Father, which is and my hand. That's why I'm assured that I know, because I'm in his hands. Now, he might have to push me to get me to heaven, but he's going to get me there, church. If you're born again, he's going to get you there. Amen? He's still God. He's still God, church. And he's still capable. You go too far to cut you off. Here he says, steadfast. Be steadfast. Are you steadfast this morning? You know, it's safe to say the song, I'll be a friend of Jesus as long as I shall live. Hey, that's really all Jesus is looking for. Somebody will be born again and become his friend. Take up his cross and follow after him. Hey, he didn't ask you to lead, he said, follow. Amen? He didn't ask you to win, he said, just follow. He'll give you the victory. Oh, preacher, church, so many Christians are defeated this morning simply because they haven't learned to follow Jesus. They haven't learned just to step in his footsteps, follow him, stay close. The footprints in the sand used to be a real big thing. Don't see too anymore, but the fellow asked the question, I realize the most difficult times of my life, when things are going the worst, there's only one set of footprints. Yes, that's when he carries you. He doesn't ask you to carry him. But do you have these three things in your life this morning as a Christian? Are you prepared to meet God? You've made that reservation. Brother Ross, I know what you're talking about because I went and made the reservation one day. Nobody needed to tell me because I was there. Amen? When I got up off that altar praying that day, no, I didn't have to have Brother Ed say, Brother Ross, you're saved. Brother Ross got up knowing he's saved. Brother Ross got up. I love Brother Ed. I think he's one of the greatest preachers ever lived on the face of this earth. But he had to tell me that I was saved. I know it. And how do you know it? Because man, preacher did preaching. He's been preaching straight preaching. What is it? Tarry and feathery at the same time and clean you up with the grace of God. But church, think about these things this morning. Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ if he was to come right now? Because you made that reservation, you made the preparation. Are you living the life of Christ that he'd have you live because you know your salvation is sure? And if the world comes, are you going to be steadfast, standing for Jesus no matter what? These are important questions, not because I'm asking, because God is saying them. God has said these are things you can have in your life as a Christian. If you truly get born again, you'll be prepared to meet thy God. He said, oh, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Hey, the only thing God loves more than the church is Israel. God loves Israel more. Yes, He broke you off that you could be drafted, or them also you could be drafted in. Then one day He'll go back to them and put them back where they stand, God's people. Now, how He does it, church, there's a lot of debate. It doesn't matter. He said He's going to do it, so He'll do it. That's all that matters. But this morning, the most important thing, I say again, I'm just glad God broke them off and drafted me in. And He can do anything else He wants to do. I'm just glad I get to go. My name is on the book of life. I passed from death unto life. Church, all these things because I made the reservation. A reservation one day by getting right with God. All God asks you to do this morning, He doesn't ask you to change the world. He asks you to let Him change you. He doesn't ask you to come and just find a way to heaven. He said, no, I'm going to lead you to the step of the way. That's where so many, I guess for most people, that's why it's so hard, because they don't get to do anything. They don't get to work it out. They don't get to make the preparations. God does. And once you get saved, all you got to do is just lay back in the arms of Jesus and follow Him. Preacher, I thought it was so hard. I thought I had to do this. No, all you had to do is just be truly let Jesus Christ come into your heart. I mean, really be saved. Church, I'm not talking about this. Like I said, I love the church. Jesus Christ loves the church. But loving the church won't get you there. Loving the pastor won't get you there. Church, but loving Jesus will. Now this morning, do you really love Jesus? Do you have Jesus? Is He the King that sits on your throne? Now listen, most of us are sitting on our own throne. Amen? I'm glad God one day kicked me out and took up His throneship in my life. Hey, to the day I got saved, I was king of my life. I could do what I wanted to do. I could say what I wanted to say. I could go where I wanted to go. But the day that I got saved, I gave up the kingship and I give Jesus the throne. And church, the only way He'll ever run your life is when you do the same. You put Him on the throne and every day you get up and say, Lord, what would you have me do today? And really mean it. I'll tell you, if you do, He'll show you. He won't let you figure it out. You know how a lot of people say, well, how's He going to show me? Well, one of the greatest ways He shows people what to do is this right here. And that's why they're working so hard in this story. This King James Bible showed you exactly what you need to do. It showed me one day that God would make me a preacher. I didn't want to preach, church. I'll be the first to tell you, I did not want to be a preacher. I ran from it for 4 years, hard and fast as I could go. But I'm glad He finally won out. See, He was on the throne. He's the King. Doesn't matter what I want. It's what He wants. Now, church, I'm not going to tell you you're going to be able to figure this all out in a minute, but if you stay close to God long enough, He'll help you figure it out. Amen? If I could figure it out, anybody could figure it out. Amen? That's one reason I said, Lord, I can't preach. I'm doing nothing but stuff. He said, that's all right. I'll take care of that too. And you young fellow got saved. I knew my name. Love God. Couldn't even read His name on His own paycheck. Go home and ask Mom, Mom, is this my paycheck? Well, let me tell you something. God taught me things you need to read the Bible. Hey, he didn't have to go to school. God gave him the knowledge. God will give you whatever you need this morning, whatever you need in your life. God has already planned for you to have it. If it's what God is for, God has already made a plan for you to be successful. God doesn't want anyone in His family to be unsuccessful. He wants you all to be successful. But God doesn't read the success that you and I make. Success is God's when you bow down and say, thy will be done. That's success. You know what it means. Now that's the message this morning. I hope it'll help you. You digest it. I hope you didn't hear me. I hope you heard the word of God. Church, if you hear me and forget me, you've lost nothing. If you hear this word and forget Jesus Christ, you've lost everything. Well, preacher, you don't know how rich I am. You've lost everything. I haven't went to any gold line coffins yet. Have you? It only won't be gold lines, won't go in the ground. But church, this morning, I have met Jesus Christ, and He has changed my life forever. I am nothing. I'll be the first to tell you that. But I belong to somebody who's everything. I'm a purchased possession this morning.
But why would anybody want to believe that? Let us stand this morning, let us bow our heads as they come. Brother Brandon, give the invitation. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, this morning, I pray that our words have been your words, our thoughts have been your thoughts. But I pray most of all, if they be one here this morning, hadn't made the reservation, Lord, not ready to meet Jesus, not ready to face you, not ready for death to come. I pray, God, this morning, God, that the Holy Spirit would be so strong upon them. Be so convictingly in their soul this morning, God, that they'd have to come before they depart from this building and make that reservation. Make peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe one, Lord, that knows they've laid down the cross. And Jesus has said to them, he's not saying, oh, he wants to put his faith, he doesn't want to stomp them. He wants to do like the prodigal father. I've got a robe. I've got a ring. I've got a pair of shoes. I'm just waiting on my son to come home. If you notice anything, church, they didn't have to prepare. God was ready. I pray this morning that you realize how prepared he is for you this morning to come to the altar of mercy. I pray that you'd understand this morning he does not want to condemn thee, but he wants to forgive thee. Now, Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Brother Brad.